Here we go. Game day on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Wherever you're watching, listening. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, 4 to 6. Here we are. If you can't catch us live, download us. Still get us. We are available. Guys, how are we feeling today? Sammy, stand up.
Get the camera
stand
to
up,
cut
Sammy.
Standing up.
Stand up.
Oh. Stand it's up. Jacket.
Hey, look at you, Sammy. Look at you. Looking fantastic.
Thank
JB,
you.
Take a bow.
Yeah,
we got
you.
A little blue going.
We do. It's the blue on blue. It's Hockey Night in Canada vibes, I'd say.
Well,
big day. When Kipper tells me to put on a jacket and a tie.
It's buddy, the it's, jacket.
It's special.
I do it.
It's
I just
special.
Listened to I listened
playoffs,
to you and I did
baby.
It. So
well, you look like a
thank you.
Short about a 999,000 from a million.
Thank you.
I was saying if the Leafs win tonight, every day Sammy has to add one more fancy piece, maybe a top hat, a cane, a three piece.
I will say
a monocle.
If they do win tonight, and we are on tomorrow at 11 a.m. So if you're listening, we'll be on 11 a.m. to 12 because of the Jays again. I will be wearing probably the exact same thing.
Beautiful jacket.
You can't make those type of comments without coming to your consultant first.
Right.
Okay? So let's,
vibes consultant.
Let's
Caprios.
Just get through the first 10 minutes of the first period before we go
That's
anywhere
fair. Very fair.
On your wardrobe tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
Outside of that,
yep.
Plenty to dissect in the next hour on our Leaf edition of The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. And by the way, Derek Brandale, David Sisboomba, along for the ride for the next 2 hours. How are we feeling coming home off a 1-1 split for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Good. I mean, you know, I hate to say it because that's typically the places where they let us down and let their fan base down historically, but there's no reason not to feel good. Pretty much the same lineup as the last time, as we understand it. They haven't got peak performances from some of their very good players, and I'm talking about even their whole decor. So I feel good. They're in a good position to play well. Samsonov seems to be in a good headspace.
Nervous.
Yeah.
As nervous as you were going into game two?
I don't think I was very nervous going into game one because I kind of got what I expected in that baby. Game two, you're nervous, and it's a different type of nerves because it feels like the series may be close. Not over, but it's a big hole to go into.
Yeah.
But coming home, you know, just playing, having Matthews have that moment, feels like they're feeling great. And like you said, this is kind of the spot where it doesn't go so well. So I'm a little bit apprehensive about tonight because I'm cautiously optimistic, which is a problem.
Please win.
So I'm nervous. I'm very nervous about tonight.
And you?
It's got a potential to be a great hockey game, I think.
I think the, especially again with the history of being at home and sometimes the struggles, the first 5 or 10 minutes are imperative. They cannot, that building will be electric going into it. You can't lose them with a down 1-0 or down 2-0. If you start chasing it, I'm not saying that, the game's done and over with at 2-0, but that's what you want to avoid.
And it's just such a good team when they're defending a lead, right? Like, they're really responsible. We talked about the odd man rushes that they give up, which are not many. So, yeah, you start to chase the game and they don't have to take chances. It's just going to get harder. So a crucial first 5 minutes tonight.
Yeah, I actually wore this suit. Because instead of wearing a jersey, I wear what most people wear in the lower bowl at the Scotiabank Arena. Scotiabank Arena outfit.
You're ready to cut a deal. A multi-million dollar deal.
Yeah. They got to be loud tonight, okay?
Sushi in a neutral.
And I do hate when people get on them or whatever and they go down early and there's a lot of scars. I understand that. But from the opening puck drop, we're looking for some loud.
Yeah.
Loud.
Well, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper and see what he's looking forward to tonight.
Well, the atmosphere, I think, will be great here at home. You know, it's a great atmosphere down in Boston, playoffs, all that kind of stuff. So, you're excited for that. In terms of the game and our team, we just expect to keep doing what we've been doing, you know. Got to continue to embrace the things that we've done really well here and you know, clean up the things that we haven't done well, and recognize that each shift and each game is going to continue to get harder. Boston's going to push back real hard tonight, and you know, we'll have to be ready for that. You know that, you know, even the other night we liked our game a lot. There's not a lot between the two teams here, so you know, we'll have to be really good again here tonight, clearly.
So much to get into on the ice, and we'll do that as well in the next 27 minutes with Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet, will join us, and we'll dissect a lot of things, including the big story off the ice, and that is Willie.
Where's Waldo? Willie
is Willie Waldo?
Where is Willie?
Skating again today.
Okay.
Skating around the ice, looking like he took some line rushes, so skating.
But he again stayed out after skate with the scratches.
The mystery continues. Mm.
Which, tough to imagine him doing that and then playing.
I don't expect to see him.
No. I mean, would you want to hear what the coach said?
I'd love to hear it.
Matthews wasn't at practice today as well, which sent shivers up and down to relief
fans. Did he leave a window open for Willie?
Let's play the clip. There's an update on Willie and Matthews, so play the clip there, Derek.
There's a chance. Obviously, still out there getting work, and everything for him is just how he responds, and take it from there.
And why did Austin miss this morning?
Just decided to keep him off. That's it. He just took the option. He'll be good to go tonight.
Okay. So you're telling me there's a chance.
So that's exactly what he's leaving it open to come to the rink and see how you feel.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah. And as I said yesterday, that to me is, hey, other side, spend some time worrying about how your lineup changes if we have Willie in.
I was listening to Bunkus and Sid Sixero talk about this today. And the way that it's kind of been talked about is that it really feels that the Leafs have drawn the picture that this is kind of Willie's decision the whole way through. Like, it was an interesting conversation. You know, they haven't been like, he's banged up.
Yeah.
He's banged up and we're going day by day here or whatever. They've been like, he may play tonight. We'll see how he feels. We'll see how he feels.
I give them credit though. This is some Lou Lamoriello level. Yeah. Like, even behind the scenes, no one's saying, you know what it is. Like, I got nothing.
There's nothing. Like, do you have anything concrete?
It is bizarre.
Bizarre.
It is bizarre. And it does set them up for, like, if this thing goes south in the first round, they lose. I think this will garner a ton of attention.
For sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
As a distraction? What?
Yeah, I don't know about distraction so much as an excuse. You know, another thing to lean on to say, well, if we had Willie, you know, another way out.
Oh, boy.
But
I actually hadn't thought about that.
If it's just face value, which is he wasn't healthy. He didn't get medically cleared.
Mm-hmm.
He was unavailable.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that end it for you?
Sure. That, I mean, does it not
still
for you is a much better question. Does it not for
it's,
you?
It's still a yes.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it usually works this time of year.
Yeah.
Where guys want to play and they're told not to, which goes totally against Bunkus and
Sid were talking about.
Sid.
It's just something that I hadn't thought about.
I don't necessarily see this being we think you're good to play, but Willie, you don't want to play.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
Or is it a situation where they think, like, maybe he's been cleared, but it's a pain threshold thing, and he's maybe not ready to go, and there's something going on with that? Like, I don't know.
If it's a pain threshold thing, he's not cleared.
Okay.
He's not cleared.
All right. I don't know. I'm searching for answers like everyone else.
For sure.
And they've left it to speculation.
There's just, as they should, for the record, they should do that. And there's no chance that when the series ends, let's say he never plays, they lose six games. You know how after series over, they go, this guy had this, that guy had this. And they go, Willie was just uncomfortable. You know, like, you're going to hear, like, something's up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Can we rule out a concussion?
No.
I don't think you can at all.
No.
Because you're not supposed to be on the ice 3 days after a concussion. The protocol is off the ice for 7 days, and then bike and then go on the ice.
Isn't it like no symptoms for 24 hours? Then you can like test with exercise. Could this just be exercise?
That's if you're trying to debate whether or not you were concussed to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a sense that he was concussed and he missed the first game because of it, and then you threw him back on the ice three or four days later, that's not what we're accustomed to, knowing how to return from a concussion after all these years.
I immediately think that's it. after never having considered
it. Do we just lump this in with the spotter? Because that is turned into the biggest joke in the league.
Okay,
some guys are getting sent off, and then others you choose to ignore.
I mean,
is that what's going on here?
Ilya Samsonov took an 85-mile-an-hour wrist shot straight in the bean on Tuesday or whatever night that was. And they
Game two.
They didn't do anything. So
prior to the 7-second goal.
But I can see the Leafs, if it is a head thing, you know, you don't want to have any outside input into protocols or whatever. You just want your guy to play as soon as you can play.
I just think if he's concussed and there's still symptoms, you don't skate on the ice. I'm sorry. You just don't go out there.
Right. But the all coming back from a concussion is ramping it up. Can you do this?
Yeah.
We'll see how you feel tomorrow. You're okay?
Yeah.
Can you do this now?
Yeah.
So you feel tomorrow? And you're still okay?
And you're in the fast lane at Disneyland, right?
You don't have to wait.
You're not waiting like everybody else.
Yeah.
We're putting you on the fast track.
Can you do this? You can? What about this? You know, they're trying to see you fast. I don't know. We don't know. But it's definitely as valid a theory as back, or I heard migraines, or blah, 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 which could play into concussions.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Okay, where do you want to go? The rest of the lineup? You want to go?
I want to talk about the Boston Bruins a little bit. And so they're going to throw Jeremy Swayman back at the Leafs tonight, obviously.
If they're doing the switch up, then that's what they're doing.
Switch up. Swayman led the NHL this year in save percentage when tied. So he has a .930 when the score is tied in hockey games, and he played, you know, over 40 games. That's a pretty good, solid number. You mentioned the start and all that. I think the thing that you liked about their game last game was patience and, you know, sticking with it and not cheating, and all of a sudden they're going the other way. When you have a goalie who makes saves when the score is tied and, you get robbed a few times, that's going to be key too tonight is, if you get robbed, if Swayman's good in these moments, can they continue to do the things, pull out and be defensively smart that they need to do to stay with Boston?
Swayman, dating back to last year, has won 5 straight against the Leafs, 1.17 save percentage, .964 save percentage, 1.17 save goals against, and 10.27 saves above expected through that time.
Wow.
So, bit of ownership.
Yeah, no kidding.
If Swayman finds a way to beat the Leafs tonight,
How do you?
That switcheroo is done.
So of the five,
done.
Hope not.
No, it will. There's just not.
I'm with Kip on that.
Not a snowball's chance.
Can't do it again.
That Montgomery would have the guts to go up 2-1 with Swayman, and then stick to his regular season. Hey. Everybody gets to be included.
One to Ullmark, who gives up one
matter.
We didn't like.
That's peewee hockey, bud, that, you know, we're switching back and forth because that's the participation of our team.
But I disagree. I think he does it.
Oh,
it's all he's talked about all year. It's like
I think it's a fair point that he would. But I don't think he can justify that.
It's okay to start. Like you gave it a chance,
And they loved him in the last game. They praised him.
Sam's right on this.
They praised him. He was great.
Now you want to go into game 4 up 2-1, and then what? Take another chance that Ullmark loses again? And no.
Yeah.
No.
That's peewee stuff.
And you know, you talked about how important it is for the Leafs to get off to this good start. Last 5 games, Swayman has played the Leafs. You know how many times they've scored in the first period on him? Yeah, it's 0. They haven't scored a single first period goal on this guy. So if you're looking for reasons to start this guy and you're Jim Montgomery, it's not hard to find him.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon on the matchups tonight at home where he will get the last change.
Well, the atmosphere, I know it's going to be great. Like I talked about,
be loud. I think people, you know, are excited for this time of year, of course, and will welcome us home. You know, in terms of the matchup stuff, I think, you know, we'll see what the lineup looks like for us here tonight. But, you know, you look how it went on the road. I think the way the forward matchups went, we were pretty good with that. Pretty good with the way they worked out. I think both teams are sort of top six, bottom six. You know, and you have to be smart about how you manage that and get outside of that. You know, obviously, they really focused on Austin and his line with how they utilized their defense, and we'll be able to maybe manage that a little bit better at home here now and make it a little more difficult for them. At the same time, you know, that line's been doing really well, and we got to manage the matchups accordingly so we're not, you know, chasing one to get something favorable over here and expose ourselves on the other side of it, especially, you know, we've been playing without different people.
Playing without different people. Yeah.
I don't, this worries me. Like the overthink. It's something that we've always talked about with Sheldon, that like when he gets into these situations, he likes to coach hard and he likes to switch things up. And like we talk about the lack of patience on the ice sometimes with the Leafs. I mean, that can be reflected behind the bench too. And him with last change and like him like looking to galaxy brain this does concern me a little bit, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Is that fair or no?
I like his comment on not seeking out some matchup. Let's say you're trying to get your first line against their fourth line and then leaving yourself exposed on the other side. They don't score. Now the other guy's top line's up and you don't have your top guy. So
as far as I'm concerned, I look at the Boston Bruin lineup, and I know we're going to have a discussion on Marchand very soon here, but Pasternak's the superstar here.
Yeah.
And for the most part, Marner, Tavares, Matthew Knies
done pretty well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I know we had this conversation the other day, and maybe it's affected their ability to maybe create a little bit more or have those cheap moments, but like he's been quiet. He got the one power play goal, but he's been quiet here. You're going to win the series if you keep this guy at bay.
Yeah.
It's that simple for me, for the Boston Bruins here. And I get Marchand is that guy that can also stir it up, but you shut Pasternak down, you win the series.
Yeah. You make everyone else beat you. It's funny, going back to Marner and Matthews' rookie season, like the guy who scored the most against the Leafs, number two is Kucherov, was 20 goals on the Leafs regular season and playoffs combined. Pasternak is 27.
Yeah. Oh, he owns.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's just.
He's the number one Leaf.
Thank you to Jason Murdoch in our stats department for some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. On Marchand, because Sammy, you wanted to get something off your chest after game two and you've kind of let it slide. I said, Sammy, long series, bud. You'll get your chance. You'll get your licks on Brad Marchand.
Yeah. We want to play Sheldon Keefe talking about how you play against him, because it's a very good clip.
And then we'll come to Sammy for our Kippers clip on Marchand.
Yeah, just got to be smart. You know, you got to recognize the moment, recognize the player and players that you're playing against. You know, they're very good at making it very clear that there's been an infraction. So we've got to, we got to manage that for sure.
I mean, the diving is brutal.
The diving.
He's a brute. Like the Boston Bruins are a storied organization who their last two captains, I mean, Zdeno Chara, all time legend, never, ever going to take a dive ever. Patrice Bergeron, one of the classiest guys in the history of the league. And then they go to this guy who's crying all over the ice, diving all over the ice, turtling anytime anyone comes up to him. It's a bad look for them. And it's like, you know, Montgomery's whining today in the media about the schedule. It's like, holy, the crying Bruins here. It's like, what's going on?
Okay.
I thought there was this big, bad organization. He's grabbing at his knees with a love tap from Bert.
Do I need to call you a whamulance?
Okay.
It's not a good look for them. That's all I'll say.
You brought it up, but like, I don't get either Montgomery crying about the schedule. It's like, get through tonight, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Get through tonight. You got lots of time here to cry on the extra day off between tonight and Saturday. I don't get that for one second why he even went there.
Do you want to lump this in with these two things?
Yeah, let's play that clip too. Okay. Montgomery.
So everyone knows, the schedule is such that they play Wednesday night, yeah, then not till Saturday, so there's an extra day off in Toronto.
So let's play the clip. It's clip number two.
The schedule is the schedule, but do you like that you've got games off, the days off between 3 and 4?
No. Like, I mean, I would have rather been here Thursday, Saturday, if I'm being honest, but, you know, I think we're spending more time in Toronto than Toronto's spending in Boston. We're the home team.
I think it's a fair observation.
Yeah, listen, you got to ask the question.
Oh, my God. Oh, I would have spent one extra night in the Four Seasons in this palatial room where he's watching tape anyway. Give me a break.
Listen, he did get asked the question, and he gave an honest answer.
Yeah.
Me, I would have said, like, come on.
Let's get through tonight.
It is like, just don't. You don't need,
you'll be
you
fine.
Don't need to go there.
You'll be fine.
The thing I'll say about Marchand, talking about the former captains of the Boston Bruins, is he has one thing in common with them that's important, and it's all is competitive as hell.
For sure.
And that diving and the whining
in a different way.
For sure. But it's that same drive.
Yep. It is part of his game to draw emotion and then get calls. And you know, the one that you're talking about was the Bertuzzi.
Embarrassing. Totally embarrassing.
It's not. Listen, he didn't Kipper, need you, he didn't need to go down.
If you were on the ice, bud,
didn't need to go down.
What would you have been saying to him?
Didn't need to go down. That was a penalty, him standing up.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a penalty, Sam.
I said as much.
That's
definitely a
slash.
Stupid.
Any way you want to look at it. Did he feel like he needed to go down to completely sell it? Yeah, it was sold before you went down. So I get it, but it is part of his game to draw penalties, like bunting we've seen in the past. Kadri's awfully good at it. It's
an art.
You know, at times it works for him, and there's other times when you got to go, I did a piss-poor job selling that
and
one.
And it's hard because this guy's watching on his TV from his couch, and he wants to punch him in the face. If you're in the game and you're close to him, to not give him that extra shot is a challenge, and that's why he's so good at what he does and makes him effective. I know I'm not saying it's, like, awesome and you should like it, but obviously he is very good at this.
Yeah.
Was the tweet about, like, Tyler Bertuzzi, we need to control our emotions, that he sees Marchand and throws a shovel at him from 2 feet away?
From a Leaf perspective, what a horrific decision between Lyubushkin and Bertuzzi there to give them a power play with 5 minutes to go.
There is a part of that play that I missed, and when I was hard on Lyubushkin for the way he reacted, Coyle comes right by Samsonov, slashes him straight in the helmet. There's a part there that I never saw it, and I got a million people tweeting me and DMing me about it.
He took a lick.
He slashed him in the helmet.
Dramatic explanation of the event.
You come across a goalie and hit him in the face. How do you expect the guy that's on the team to react? I give him a pass on that one.
No pass in that time of the game, up a goal. You got to suck it up, Sam. Mm. You got to. Coyle came back and engaged with Lyubushkin.
He tried to rip his chain
off. Down 5-on-3.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And we're having a different conversation potentially on being down 2-0 in a must-win game 3.
Yeah.
That's the fine line we're talking about this time of year.
Yeah. I think, you know, in the heat of the battle, right after you've turned one up the middle and some guy slashes your goalie in the face, it's hard to be like, just be cool. Just be cool. It's hard.
Hard doesn't mean it can't be done.
I know. Yep. But, and, you know, Marchand doesn't need to dive like that. And the last time the Leafs played the Bruins, he spent more time lying on the ice crying than he did playing in the game. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Okay, yesterday we dived in about the Mitch Marner noise. Mm-hmm. It ain't going away. Should we go to Sheldon Keefe first on his top guys?
Sure.
And then we'll come out and talk about what's transpired in 24 hours since our yesterday's show.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen to Sheldon Keefe.
But what I like, not just about Mitch and that line, but even Austin, his line, you know, the game in the first game and the second game, there's not a lot different there. Like, they were very good in both games. You know, the puck went in twice, you know. So, you know, we had those, you know, the chances that Austin had, the rips off the bar and then Max's rebound. We had those types of chances in game one as well. Maybe not as clean a breakaway as Austin had the other night, but you know, Yarncroke was in alone, Tavares was in alone in game one. Like, these things sort of have happened, you know, and will happen through the playoffs. And sometimes one line does it, another night another line's going to do it. But our team game has been really good, and none of our players here through games one or two have cheated the game and have gone outside of what we need them to do. And because of that, we've played the best defensive hockey we've played all season long.
Wow, that's a hell of a statement.
He's pumping him up.
Yeah. It's been good defensive hockey. Very.
I can't imagine, and this is part of what comes with being in this market, and it comes with some of the years past where there's been big moments where Marner and Matthews, don't get me wrong, have not come through. But, I mean, we saw the cover of the Toronto Sun, you know, the Invisible Man. I can't imagine more pressure on an individual than the pressure on Mitch Marner going into
tonight. Yeah, and again, just to kind of, I'm not taking Mitch off the hook here. He needs to play better. And yes, he's going to have to produce at some point. Mm-hmm. But the narrative for me so early in the start of the playoffs, and you know, the Toronto Sun cover where, correct me if I'm wrong, they said a usual disappearance. Mm-hmm. And it's like 5 minutes ago, we were talking about all of them under a lot of scrutiny this time of year.
Yeah.
For good reason. Now, Austin has a terrific game two. Mitch is pointless. And now he's great. And Mitch sucks. I don't get it. I don't get it. Two games in, you want to bury this guy.
That's the part, Mike. You want to talk to me after they lose in six games to the Boston Bruins? You want to put this out? Okay, but like, it's the first home game after they got a split on the road in Boston.
So why? Like, why?
Because Florida's fresh too, where, you clicks, know, buddy. I think Marner had no points in six of the last eight playoff games or something, I think, was included in that. And it's like, I think Florida had a lot of people on edge to get that narrative changed so it doesn't feel like two games.
Wasn't Mitch like the best player on the ice to even extend a fifth game against Florida?
He scored in that game.
He's
had some bad games. He's had some bad games in big spots that stick with people.
Austin has. As Willie has.
We're not talking about those guys. We're talking about the guy that's on the front of the Sun today, right? Like, he's in the crosshair, and he seems to take the brunt of it, whether it's fair or not.
Yeah.
He takes the brunt.
Yeah.
There was an article I read.
And it's not fair.
The article I read today, talking about how these guys don't get their points just 1 point here, 2 point there, all consistently throughout the playoffs. And the guys who have had big success, Marchessault last year wins the Conn Smythe. I think he had two assists seven games into the playoffs last year. That was his point total. And then, so the point is, there's enough time. Playoffs are long. If the Leafs are good collectively and win as a team, Marner will be Marner. He'll have enough games to be Marner. It's just a matter of, can the team get him there to validate that stance? Mm-hmm.
And the other thing too, and Sheldon's already talked about it, they're trying a different look here. And I know I didn't joke around with you. I said, like, try to win a game 2-1. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe they will. Maybe they will start 3-2 scores. Maybe they don't have to have those huge numbered point production games. Maybe it's a different look right now. Maybe they are in a shutdown mode, Tavares and Marner and Nyes. And maybe those opportunities aren't there like they were constantly when they had the go, go, go mentality and let's outscore our mistakes. They've learned. I don't know how the application goes moving forward, but they've learned can't outscore your mistakes.
No, but it would feel more valid if when they were playing this go-go mentality you're talking about, they had games where they scored a bunch, you know, like in last year's playoffs against Florida or whatever. And so if that's it and they're able to win doing this, that would be awesome. And I think people would be pretty cool with quiet numbers from the Stars, but they're just not built to not get numbers from
them. Trust me, if they lose this series, there's plenty of time for those covers, right? But, like, not after game two.
I think that's fair.
You know,
I'm as critical.
Head start on the pack.
I'm as critical of Marner as anyone, but like, felt a little early.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Maybe just.
Buddy, that's what you call eating your own.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hey, sex sells, baby. Leads at leads, I guess.
Okay, what are we going to do? Take a quick break.
Let's take a break with Gord.
Gord Stelatricity, one of the favorites on Real Kipper and Born. We'll get his thoughts on Marner, plus so much more as we get ready for puck drop. Game three tonight. Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet, the place to be.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Welcome in Gord Stella, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, former general manager of the Leafs, one of our favorites, here to help us tee up Game 3 at Scotiabank Arena. Gordo, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm feeling good. I know we're supposed to be objective, but Leaf Nation, we're not. I'm feeling good. I'm ready.
Okay. But we've had you on in previous years. You felt good before this time of year. What's different tonight?
Well, I think people went seriously in debt listening to my 1-900 numbers from previous years, so I apologize when I selected the Leafs and it didn't happen. Okay, I just feel that was such a great statement game on Tuesday in so many ways, starting with Ilya Samsonov, starting with the big gun Austin Matthews, the way they played, on and on and on. I really do think this Boston Bruins team, the one that won three times in a few years, Zdeno Chara was a towering presence. He's gone. Bergeron's gone. Brad Marchand doesn't seem to be the same like he was. So it's no disrespect to the Bruins, but we thought 5 years ago the Leafs were going to supplant the Bruins as a better team in the Atlantic Division. They haven't done that in the standings, but I just have a feeling they're ripe for it. So I can't give you numbers. I can't give you stats. I'll leave that to Justin to do all that. I just have that good vibe for real this time.
So, you know, we've got your opinion in the past on this year's Leafs versus past Leaf. I want to get your thoughts on this year's opponent versus past opponent. You know, going into tonight, Andrew Peak and Matt Grizzlick are out on the back end for the Boston Bruins. I believe JVR is in for Lauko out front. What are your thoughts on the Bruins in general compared to the previous Lightning? And I guess it's been Lightning a couple years in a row, but the other first rounders.
Well, and again, like last year, they hit the Florida Panthers just as they, you know, hit their sweet spot. 2 years ago, the Tampa Bay Lightning had still been the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. So they had a tough draw by who they got eliminated against. And like I was saying earlier about this Boston Bruins team, again, the last 2 years, they were supposed to battle for a playoff spot to stay in. You thought 2 years ago, and to their credit, they came first overall, won the President's Trophy. But I just feel that kind of factor. And keep in mind, whenever they beat the Leafs, it was always in seven games. And the Leafs had opportunities to win it. The one time, game six on Easter Sunday, when Morgan Rielly gave them a 1-0 lead. So it's not like they came in and dominate them years gone by. But the fans' mantra, the fans' recollection is that's been the case. The Bruins simply have the Toronto Maple Leafs number. So I again, no disrespect, but I view this not as talented a team as last year's Florida Panthers, nor the Tampa Bay Lightning as the previous year. Yet, the Leafs lost to Montreal and Columbus when they were a far better team years before that.
We're talking to Sportsnet's 590, The Fan's Gord Stellick, teeing up game three. So, Gord, you know, the narrative this season was, we like Toronto starting on the road. Get a split, come home. Hey, worked out exactly like some were suggesting. Coming back home now, and you've been around this team for a very, very long time. What are the challenges when you get back home in front of this particular fan base?
So I don't get the challenges. I don't understand it. You play all season long for home ice advantage, and for whatever reason, the Maple Leafs have been a better team on the road this recent incarnation. I don't get it all. So that's the last piece of that's that last piece that has to be put in place, is they have to make this a tough place to play. a place where they kick ass, that you don't want to come into Scotiabank Arena, that it's their turf, they got the crowd, it should all be a plus. I'm baffled why in the past they've had a much better road playoff record. So Kippy, all that you're saying makes sense. It should be it. It has not played out that way in the past, and that's what has to be different, and I believe will be this team in 2024.
Big topic of conversation has been Mitch Marner not, you know, contributing as much as he typically does, but also Austin Matthews having a really good game too, and kind of putting them on their back for a win. What are your thoughts on the public conversation around these guys? You know, we had one, and people reacted very strongly to it when their team got a win. Very passionate opinions on this whole discussion.
Okay, so the problem's been now 8 years running. This will be the eighth year. Now, the first year you throw away because that was just a novelty. But your big guns, whomever they are, Matthews, Marner, whomever, have to be big guns in the playoffs, and they've never done that. They've never been the difference makers in a playoff series. So to say the microscope's under them is very valid, as it should be. Criticism. After two games, Elias Pettersson in Vancouver, Alexander Ovechkin in Washington. His is a bit easier. He's 38 and really can't keep up in that. And Mitch Marner. Okay, Austin Matthews grabbed it by in game number two. What a game Austin Matthews had. And it just shows that when you take some not very smart penalties, other things maybe go awry, the difference maker was an elite player made the difference. So it's the challenges for Mitch Marner to do that as well. I've been bothered, Justin, in the past that, particularly when they lost to Columbus and Montreal, so much worry was to treat everyone with kid gloves. Yeah. Let's not be critical of Mitch or any of the Leafs, whatever it may be. Well, come on, you warrant criticism the way they lost some of those playoff series. It goes with the territory. It doesn't take away the elite players they are, the star players that they are. They just got to do it in the playoffs, which they at least have to do as a team to be like, say, Chicago was, or Tampa Bay was, or Pittsburgh was, or Colorado. The teams have finally get to the promised land or close to the promised land, and they have to do it as individuals. And the first two games, Mitch may have done a lot of things team-wise well, and that's fine. That's fine. But he is one of those difference makers, and at times he's got to make a difference.
Did you see the cover of the Toronto Sun today where they airbrushed his face out and called him an invisible man as usual this time of year? Did you catch that? Do you think that was warranted, Gord?
Well, no, is there still an element of tabloid journalism? I was there with the Leafs that I never thought the covers are always extreme. Okay, they go crazy when they're winning. And, you know, and I'm not, it's harder to sell papers now, so you almost want to go more extreme. Do I think it's warranted? No, I don't. Excuse me, do I agree with it? No. Is it a reality? Yeah. So what? You're bigger than that, okay? If they win, they'll all of a sudden get their ass kissed in a cover of the Toronto Star tomorrow. So all I'm saying is we've known that's been it used to be way worse, Kipper. If you were in Toronto back in my day, you'd be getting screwed because I'd be deflecting all the criticism from me to guys like that, you know, whatever, the good-looking guys on the team getting all that. Hey, you know, I remember a headline saying I was misquoted. Leafs a disgrace, you know, dumb, whatever. And all I can say is that's the way. It's a reality. Why are we surprised? Why are we talking about it? Okay,
I know they won.
It's a
they won.
Sun cover. What's
that? They won. We're talking about it.
It's two games in.
So what?
That's a different thing than analysis.
What are the fans saying, Kipper?
Yeah.
The fans are extreme. It's not two games. It's two playoff games in. After game one, they're going to get swept in four. After game two, they're going to win in five. Okay? After they lose tonight, they're going to lose whatever. But the fact
Welcome to Toronto. Okay,
it's a valid point, but is it made extreme? Is it blown out of context? Absolutely. But they've got a different agenda to sell papers. We've got a different agenda. When you're with a team, you've got to be bigger than that, and you know that.
There has been other positives throughout this all. John Tavares had a really nice game, too. I mean, the captain didn't have the greatest game one. A lot of guys didn't, but nice to see him play well, and then nice to see the goaltender bounce back in a spot where, boy, it could have all gone wrong. Two guys that have kind of been question marks that came through, Gord.
Yeah, you know, and by the way, there was a cover once that Curtis Joseph, okay?
Like Joseph, at least
right?
It's funny.
Think about how we remember his time in Toronto, outstanding goaltending. You know, Justin, John Tavares is a guy that I think handles that kind of criticism he's had, and so much of it is affixed to his $11 million salary. And you're right, guys had a real solid two games. There's positives. Ilya Samsonov, to bounce back like he did. I mean, you know, and not just in the playoffs, this season. I give him credit. I give the organization credit. Whatever they did for a reset seemed to work, and he came up big when was needed. The acquisitions that Treliving made in the summer, Domi finding his way, Bertuzzi finding his way, Edmondson being a solid kind of trade deadline pickup. Just a lot of things, and that's maybe, KP, when you asked me the first question, why I have a good feeling about it, because the depth pieces really hadn't been there in years gone by, and these, a lot of these things are starting to come bear fruit and provide more depth on top. So there were some positives in game one when you broke it down later on, but there were a lot in game two, and it's multiple.
Any concerns at all with the discipline? We know how it cost them in game one. It could have cost them, Gord, in game two. It didn't. But where do you see that storyline moving forward?
Oh, absolutely a concern, Kippy. I mean, that's when you end up beating yourself. I mean, penalties would be part of a game. Unnecessary penalties, no. And again, you know, say, oh, geez, you get caught up in the heat of the game and, you know, it's a kind of a blow to stick up for a teammate. Well, it could be a very costly 2 minutes. Guys like Wayne Simmonds and Kyle Clifford, they both took unfortunate, untimely penalties. And Simmonds in particular had been playing really well. It was the Tampa Bay series. And that's exactly what you don't want to happen, particularly if you're a fourth line guy. I know these guys aren't fourth line guys, but hey, Austin Matthews, you want him in the penalty box having a power play goal against like he did on Saturday, which was out of character, or the dominant player in the game staying out of the penalty box like he was in game number two. That is a concern because that, again, that is one that will kill you if you continue to take unwarranted penalties. That is a fact.
So on the back end, a guy who's played a ton for the Leafs the last few years and TJ Brody is still out. How do you feel about Liljegren, Lyubushkin, these guys staying in over TJ Brody, who averages over 20 minutes of ice per game for the Leafs?
Well, I mean, you got to read the way things are going. And, you know, it's funny, last year it was Justin Hall that had a real tough time around the playoffs and that, and Detroit signed him and, you know, we know what's happened there. Mm-hmm. I love the TJ Brody signing when it happened. I've liked the way he's played by and large, but he's had kind of an indifferent year from my assessment. And obviously mine's not what counts. It's what the coaches want to look at and make those decisions. So they added some depth in who they acquired. Now you look at the Washington Capitals, they're down to 5D. Boston lost 2D. So you're hoping to go deep. And if you're going to go deep, that means you need like 7, 8, maybe even 9 defensemen, because defensemen are prone to injury, especially in the playoffs. So that means the TJ Brodies of the world or others very well could get a chance to play as well. But hey, you know what? The Sheldon Keefe and the coaches, they got to live or die by these decisions, and I'm cool with it.
Got to ask you your thoughts on the Willie Nylander mystery. You've been around a long time, Gord. We've seen some strange things this time of year, but this one leaves a different feeling for everybody moving forward, trying to guess what the heck's going on. What are your thoughts?
Well, and Kippy, this isn't up there with the Connor Bedard, Corey Perry thing. But by letting something linger, people have started reading more things. So before Saturday's game, so, oh, it's a disciplinary thing. It's a lot of things. And, you know, when you choose not to get ahead of the story, you open up that kind of speculation. So I'm very curious at the end. I know I had a doctor friend who just kind of speculated, not knowing nothing, but say it's something like he had an emergency appendectomy on Thursday, hypothetically. And that would explain this kind of thing. Because now the other one is, did he play game number 82? And he shouldn't have played game number 82 because he woke up the day after game number 82. He played every game and he's not ready to play game one in the playoffs. I mean, that doesn't jive in the planning for the playoffs. So, you know, I don't know if that's why they're keeping quiet. I don't know. But after the Vancouver game last night, they lost. Rick Tocchet said, yeah, Demko's out week to week. Myers had the flu, and you move on. So hopefully, you know, we get some clarity at some point. I expect we will. Hopefully you get a healthy Willie Nylander back in the lineup. If that's tonight, that would be great. But I'm really, this has been a baffling one. And again, people are big fans. They're curious. So you can say, oh, unwarranted speculation. No, this is human nature because it's just a very strange, unusual situation.
Gord, last one for me. Just your thoughts on Matthew Nyes, who got absolutely trucked 3 times last game. And he's a big guy and a good player. But, I mean, have you seen this before where a guy kind of repeatedly puts himself in these tough spots and finds a way out of it eventually?
Well, he got hurt that way last year, right?
Yeah.
And that was the kind of thing I was really pleased with his jumping into the NHL. I really like Matthew Knies.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in some ways you look at, you know, at Rempe with the New York Rangers, a concern about him in fighting, not about hitting. In hitting, you're more concerned about the other guys that he hits. But if he has to take on a Tom Wilson or someone, one, I know he's fought a lot of heavyweights, but can he? Does he know how to fight properly? Okay. In the case of Knies, that's part, particularly coming from the NCAA to a very physical thing like NHL Stanley Cup playoffs against a physical team like the Boston Bruins and the teams last year. Yeah, you got to learn that because you're going to get hurt. You are. I love his gumption. I love his compete. Been a positive ad, but I do have that concern for sure, Justin.
Got a score for us, Gordo, tonight?
Tonight, yeah, 4-2 Toronto. And you can take it to the bank, but if you listen to me other years, you have no money in the bank. So
All right, Gordo. Great stuff as always. That Stellectricity just went from our show. It's going to seep right into Puck Drop, buddy.
Well, I hope that's the case, guys. And yeah, we'll talk soon. We'll see you again tomorrow. We'll see what the newspaper headlines are tomorrow. Can't wait.
Thanks, Gordo.
Gord Stellick, everybody. You know,
he's right. They won. We talked about it so much.
What?
The headline.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
They won.
Yeah,
you said it.
They got all the attention.
Crap.
I think he makes a real valid point, especially in this town. If you don't find ways, and you don't have to come clean on what's going on with Willie, but you gotta find ways to calm that down, and you're in control of that.
Why?
No, I think I agree. Why? Like, is any other, are the Bruins, if Pasture's banged up, are they going to be telling
you? It's not like that. This town, it runs differently than any other town.
You could see if we were in the locker room and you and I are running the team, you go let it run wild, wouldn't you? You'd say, what do we care?
Yeah.
We know what's going on.
Listen,
he's fine.
If you feel like your team's okay with it and can shut that stuff out.
But if Willie's getting killed, maybe, like if we're, if people are writing headlines about him, about what a terrible guy, cause he was out, you know, doing something terrible.
Yeah.
Then maybe you say,
is happening.
What?
On social media.
Well, it was at first.
Yeah.
Like after he missed game one, speculation was out of control. It was running wild. Like, I mean, I got the idiots in my group chat being like, did he get disciplined? What happened? And it's like, it was out of control.
Yeah.
Then he misses game two, and I think that quieted down big time. And
now that may have been the most absurd theory I heard along
winning
the way. You didn't play well in game 82. You're
that back check that Sam McKee pulled up on Twitter, that's the one that did it.
But where does the story go if they lose tonight or if they lose badly tonight? Then you're just pouring gasoline all over it to get revisited.
With him or without him in the lineup?
What do you mean? Oh, if he's
he doesn't play.
Yeah. If he doesn't play, then yeah, it's going to be.
You guys think he'll play?
No.
I mean, you know things more than me, Kipper. And you pretend to not know things, but you do know things. So you saying that you don't think he'll play, I tend to think he won't. But I do have a little feeling that he may. I do have a little feeling that he may.
Listen, I hope you're right.
Me too.
I hope he comes to the rink and he goes,
can he give
I'm
me a solid 12? Solid 12 or 13. Play power play. Get a couple of shifts up with the big
That's
boys.
That's never happened in the history of the NHL. Where a star player dresses and they use him for
I will say this,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you're
like,
about that.
Once again.
Special teams.
We're reminded what we love about the first round.
The passion.
It's a man's game out there, man. They're hitting hard.
Hard. That's a great point. Like, you might be a little afraid.
They're hitting hard.
Was that Florida-Tampa game?
Even if he got 12 minutes, can he avoid some of the things that we're seeing out there?
And if he does, if it is something to do, like concussion.
If you think it's back, you're targeting him. Yeah.
Like, boy, he'd be going off the ice in a hurry.
Watching that Florida-Tampa game last night, like, if you want to get ahead of yourself as a Leafs or Bruins fan, it's like, well, Bennett's hurt. Whoa, Forsling's limping off. Sorelli's going to the room. Like,
plenty to talk about in the next hour, including that series and that goaltending battle between Vass and goalie Bob.
Oh, my God.
That one was legendary last night.
What a game. What a save.
Incredible. And it's still just getting started here. So don't go away in the next hour. Satyr Shaw in Vancouver will join us and give us Vancouver's vibe with no Stemko.
Oh, it's instant Leafs vibe.
And more.
Panic.
So don't you move. Nobody goes anywhere until puck drop on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.